Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and it is a nice January day here. Well, actually, it's not so nice here, but one of my guests lives in Florida, so we were just chatting by email this morning about how glorious it is in January in southern part of Florida. So I'm wishing I was there. Who are we talking to? Well, we have the sister design team of Polly Minnick and Lori Simpson, who create absolutely gorgeous fabric with Moda. They have amazing books with Kansas City Star. And they also do rug hooking. That would be Polly. And do a lot of work with the Injured Marine Semper Fi project, which we're going to learn about because I think this is just a fabulous, fabulous thing that they're doing. So we have got both Polly and Lori here. I believe Lori is on now. We've dropped her once. So
yes, I'm back.
Yay,
oh, I said
back.
She'd get over it.
That's right. She'd be back. Woo! So, you guys, I mean, this, I've known you a long time. And, of course, you know, I own all your fabric. So, I'm a big fan girl.
Good.
Thank you.
Now, tell me a little bit, because some people may not, you know, realize, first of all, may not realize that you were sisters as a design team. But also, you know, how did you actually start? And why did you start to work together as a business?
Actually, it's surprising, Pat. Every now and then people will say, just like in the last year, oh, I didn't know you were sisters.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so you're not the only one. I can't remember who was telling us the other day, and they've known us, you know, known of us for a while, and we've chatted, and, you know, I just got reading through your books. I didn't know you were sisters.
Yes, I know. I think I've known a long time, so thank goodness.
Huh? We're happy designers for Moda. We love all of our collections, and the one we just saw last week, we really love. But I don't sew. Lori doesn't hook, and it just kind of works. Although I think we kind of work alike, but that's kind of...
It was Polly's idea for us to work together. I had just quit a job, an office job that I was unhappy with and not knowing what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, why don't you make quilts on commission? And I didn't know where to start. And I thought it was a ridiculous idea, quite frankly. But Polly had some contacts and she's been in galleries and I got work right away. And that's how it started.
Ah, now, Polly, I believe you have a design background already.
Well, my design background is I was a stylist for magazines for 20 years.
Ah,
and people don't understand what that is, but it's a great job and not really difficult and just a lot of fun. And I did that for over 20 years. And I, you know, if you go around and film people's beautiful houses for 20 years, you pick up a little style.
Well,
I had no schooling in it, none.
Oh, okay.
None.
All right. But, you know, styling is something you have to be talented at doing.
Well, if you're lucky like I was and your first job was with a fabulous photographer, it just kind of falls into place. That's, you know, when you go in to film a home, it's usually a magazine person, the stylist, and the photographer. That's it.
Shoot,
and so you could kind of work together as a team, and really the boss on the shoot is the photographer.
Yeah.
He decides the angles and the rooms, and we're going to shoot this way or that way. Then I have to get busy and make sure that's where the style is. So that really is it. I went to a very small school, never had an art class.
Oh, well, now, Lori, did you have any background prior to, or were you just a quilter who loved to make quilts?
No, I went to the same school Polly did, only a few years later, and I did get an art class in about sixth grade, but that was it.
Came up in the world.
Yes.
No,
wasn't
I
wasn't there when I was there.
Just making quilts for myself and family members from the time I was 14.
Oh, wow.
She was making beautiful quilts when she was in college. Yeah.
That's early, Lori, isn't it? I mean, bet your friends didn't quilt.
No. I didn't know anybody who did. And at the time, I had to go buy my fabric at the local Five and Dime store. You know, there wasn't anything out there. It was the early 70s.
Oh, yeah.
She was going in to buy fabric. I was going in to buy penny candy.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, I'm interested. You guys are very prolific. Right now, you have got, like, two new books and a fabulous block of the month going on. You know, are you, you know, who does all of the quilting? Lori, are you doing all of that part of the books and everything?
Yes.
Thank goodness I'm not helping.
Sometimes I try to hand quilt as much as I can, but mm-hmm. then I have a great machine quilter, Carrie Rudisell, who does the machine quilting for us when we mm-hmm. need it. And then we have an assistant, Leanne Prang, who mm-hmm. helps us at market and kind of when I'm jammed up at market time, she'll do some piecing for us too.
Oh, that is
very
great
good.
To have friends.
Yes. So she thinks going to market is the best pay. She loves going to market.
It is fun. It is fun.
And we need her. We think what it would be like without her. We depend on her now.
Yes.
But right now we have three books in the works.
Holy
and Lori's
cow.
Big block of the month.
And yeah, so Lori, tell me first about the block of the month called Saginaw something. The Spirit of Saginaw.
The Spirit of Sacagawea.
It's
all right. It's a tough word. And when I was doing the research, there's many spellings, and I just sort of went with the most common one.
Uh-huh.
And it's an homage to the first strong American woman, Sacagawea, who helped the Lewis and Clark expedition. Mm-hmm. And I knew a little bit about her before, but mm-hmm. The research was quite fun. And then the quilt was a lot of fun. I tried to make it look like a 19th century, early 19th century album quilt.
Mm-hmm. And, it's wonderful. People can see it at your website, minickandsimpson.com. There's a big, nice big button on the left sidebar. So now, what fabric line are you using for this one? Is it a whole, just one full fabric line?
No, that one is a scrap quilt. And so if quilt shops want to kit that, it's just mm-hmm. a lot of red, white, and blue and a couple neutrals in there. And do what I did. I just picked from my scrap basket. Mm-hmm. It's all Minnick & Simpson scraps, mostly red and white.
As is the one on the cover or the one that's featured in Victory Girls.
Yes, that's a scrap quilt, too.
Yeah, that was
tell
a scrap
me. Tell me about the story on Victory Girls, because this book is already out, and you two are well known for, I believe you're well known for your research on women in history and putting them into your stories, into your books, into your quilts and your rugs. Tell me maybe about what went on behind doing Victory Girls.
Well, it kind of started with Lisa, didn't it?
Yes.
I think Lisa Alexander, who mm-hmm. most people know, approached Lori, and it started out on a little bit different angle than what it ended up, but I think she asked you to do kind of like a patriotic or vote something. Isn't that how it started?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so Lisa is with Moda.
Yes, Lisa's a vice president of merchandising at Moda, and she asked us to come up with an Americana quilt, something to do with women and something to do with American history.
Ah, okay.
And she thought, you know, like the elephant and the donkey. I mean, all of that is great until you really mm-hmm. think about it. Mm-hmm. And we decided that people didn't have high regards for politicians, including us. So we stepped back to World War II, and we really kind of went crazy when we got there. We were both real happy with that phase of it. So it really tells the story of what happened at home with women mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when all the men were abroad fighting.
So, Lori, did you guys have to go find all these pictures? You have these great old pictures. Are they family pictures or things you found?
That was Polly's department.
She was making the quilt. We have to break up. So, you know, she was, and that really is some quilt. So she worked really hard on the quilt. I did the little research. First of all, we had to decide what blocks. I mean, there were a lot of things you could cover. Mm-hmm. And together we came up with what you see, the baseball and so on. And then I did the little bit of research, and then I found the props. So some of the photos are our friends' parents. Mm-hmm. And the rest are just people gave them to me in exercise class, or I bought one on eBay. So some of them we know, and some of them we know who they are because of who I got them from, but we really don't know them.
And so we're still talking about the Victory Girls book,
right,
for those of you listening, because we did on to the book. So, this is wonderful. Now, okay, so Lori, was this quilt, did you do it all, you know, how did you make it? Is it needle turn? You know, because people always like to know how the designer made their quilts.
Yeah, when I do applique, I do needle turn. For me, it's easier. There's no prep work. I can just slap some fabric down and go. And just started out with some sketches and tried to make images that we thought were pleasing that represented the story of World War II women at home.
And did any of these, were they personal, like for your own family, any of these stories? Were they your, you know, family members' stories as well?
I think one, you know, we did have family members in the service, and we had certainly everybody. They're on farm, so the depression.
Right.
But as far as the pilot, Victory Girl, I mean, most of it touched every family.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we didn't have a family member would be the baseball girls and the piloting.
You have rationing and all the kinds of things everybody.
And we had a lot of nurses, and that was going to be one of our blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think about it. I mean, a nurse's cap did not to make a block that Lori likes, you know, the sketches on. So she switched to rationing because that really probably was the number one story. Anytime I asked anybody, they always talked about the blackout drapes and the rationing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what hit every family.
Yeah.
Victory Gardens, rationing, and the blackout shades at night. So switched to rationing, and then we switched to a saddle shoe when we got those great photos from our friend of her parent, of her mom in saddle shoes.
It's awesome. The book is just super, super awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And when we come back, you have a new book coming out. I want to touch on that. And I want to touch on the Marine work that you do for raising funds. So we'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio in a minute with Polly and Lori of Minnick and Simpson Design.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Well, Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and we are chatting with Polly Minnick and Lori Simpson. And, you know, guys, I forgot to mention earlier, you were telling me about a young friend that you met through the internet, which I think is a fascinating story. I'm not sure which of you is more, you know, your friend Logan. If you could just tell us how
I think she writes to Lori more. She's a quilter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, Lori, how did this happen? How did you meet Logan? And tell us, a, you know, sort of a little snapshot is meeting her.
Well, I got an email one day from, she connected through our blog, and she said she went to the movies that day, and she noticed one of the characters in the movies was wearing a shirt made out of prairie paisley fabric.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought that was fascinating. So I asked her, and it was the movie Secretariat. And then, so my husband and I planned to go to the movie the next day, and I was talking
now,
to the girl.
Was it Seabiscuit?
No, Secretariat.
Secretariat, okay. Yeah.
And sure enough, we went to the movie, and the character is wearing a prairie paisley shirt. And she picked it out. She picked out another fabric of our collection in there, and lo and behold, we found out she was a 14 or 15-year-old quilter. And she's quite the she's going to have a future in the business, I think. Let's put it that way.
You
she's
know, and
very
just
accomplished.
I bet you were quilting at about that same age, Lori, since you started very young.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, this young girl works in a quilt shop a couple days a week.
Oh my gosh!
And the quilt shop owner came to our booth at Last Market, and she said she's 14, going on 50. She said the smartest kid I've ever been around.
How exciting. And did she do a little bit of work for you then? Do a little stitching, or she showed you stuff she stitched?
Yes. She kept sending pictures of her work. It was quite good. And she's going to have a little piece in our Spirit of Sacagawea book.
Ah,
it's going to come out in the fall.
Nice.
Yeah.
How that's just exciting. I love the internet for that, don't you?
But
how many kids could go to a movie all excited about the beautiful movie? And then she wrote Lori that night, and she said, oh, I went and looked at it again. He's got another shirt out of prairie paisley. And he did. He wore it through the whole movie.
Okay. So let's switch gears here. Let's just talk about the Injured Marine Semper Fi project that you two support, Lori and Polly. And Polly, your son is a Marine, right?
Right. My son, Lori's nephew, is a colonel in the Marine Corps. And he went to Iraq, probably 5-6 years ago. And so, you know, I, of course, went crazy and thought I would get everybody in the state of Florida to send him a box of candy or something. And he says, Mom, believe me, we do not need that. Yeah. And he said, direct your efforts to the ones come back injured. And so we have. And we do silent auctions. I sell kits all the time. Another one's coming out in February. And I, you know, I sell one or two of my pieces every year. Lori has sold some of her pieces. We put them on silent auction. All the money goes to Injured Marine. And there's going to be a couple pages in American Summer in a letter from our son thanking us for, I mean, we really have sent, we have not, because we have the checks made out to Semper Fi, but we have generated a lot of money. Thank you for people that do what we do, that we're wanted to help.
That's, and you have a link on your blog or your enter website, I think, that goes to it.
Yes.
And if it's a kit that Semper Fi or a silent auction, we put it up, and we just ask that you make the check out to Semper Fi, and then my husband pays the shipping. That's his contribution to the cause. And it's a it's a good cause. And then Moda, you know, thankfully, Moda jumped in. Moda is the reason we've been so successful. They have donated a lot towards that. And because of that, they've done the Quilts of Valor, and then the one, Lori can tell you more about it, the Just One Star that could still be ongoing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Lori, tell us about the Just One Star.
Some smart ladies at Moda put their heads together. I think Lisa Alexander and Susan Stiff, and they asked everybody to make one star block, and it was a very easy Ohio star block, and send them in, and we would make, finish them into my, the pattern I did called, what was it called?
It's on.
The one with the bunting across.
Well, yeah, it was a flag. It looked just like a flag. Mm-hmm, and they wanted to get, it takes 18 stars to make a quilt, so they wanted 1,800 stars to make 100 quilts.
Right.
And the last count, it was like 18,000 they got in.
Right.
so we had to, so they put their heads together and designed, and after we sort of exhausted the whole supply mm-hmm. of bunting, the star bunting and the red fabric, they designed another quilt that just put a whole bunch of stars together. Mm-hmm. And they gave a lot of these blocks out at Quilt Market. If you're a mm-hmm. quilt shop, you got a box with these blocks and directions how to put them into a top, and off they went.
Wow.
We are well over hundreds of quilts, and we're still working on them.
They sent them out by the dozens to all the military hospitals in the United States that had troops in beds. They wanted every troop in every bed to have a quilt.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
Such it's a good big, company. I mean,
yeah. Oh, thank you for all of that work that you guys do and work, you know, constantly working for. It's amazing. I can't wait to see.
We thought of it, but the work is being done by all of our friends and people we don't even know that jump in to do it. Mm-hmm. We put it out there, but it's the response we get that's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you ever could go, it's tough to visit a military hospital, mm-hmm. but I think once anybody did, they would probably work for them for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
So tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So let's, before we still have enough time here, let's talk about your book, American Summer, that is coming out. This is has a lot of your rug hooking in it, Polly.
Yeah, there's a few more rugs in this one. It is at the printer now, so we hope to have some in a week or two. And there are a lot of rugs. They're kind of summer-themed rugs from mm-hmm. the show I do on Nantucket. But Lori has a wonderful beach bag in there that our Marine Colonel can attest to. It's a fabulous laminated bag, and Lori has two quilts in it, so it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I love them. I love them. And I like your the theme of the summer and like the old bathing suits and the sand pails, and it's just very nostalgic.
We found photos of our mother and all of her sisters in bathing suits like that rug I made. They had a lake on their farm, and we found a photo. It was in our booth. A couple, our friend Sarah painted a wonderful portrait from, but they were all on a boat in this. It couldn't have been a very big lake, but it was on their farm. And so we were kind of working in that when we did Charlevoix. Mm-hmm, and so that was kind of our theme. And then I did a rug for that for Nantucket. But it's fun. It's good to be busy, right?
Yeah, it
Who's
is.
Busier
it
than
is.
You?
So, Lori, tell me about, you have a couple of quilts in that book. What are they, you know, what is their design like for the
one is so stunning it will take your breath away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one is a sort of a kind of a complicated, it's a Lone Star, but kind of gussied up a bit. And
yes.
And the other one is a four-block applique quilt, like a lot of antique quilts. Mm-hmm. Both Polly and I get our inspiration from antique textiles, mm-hmm. and I'm always looking at old quilts, and it's an update on an old four-block applique quilt.
Now, Lori, do you like to do applique more than piecing, or you sort of like to do both? What is your personal preference?
I like to do both. I like to do mm-hmm. handwork, so mm-hmm. I like to do applique, I like to do hand piecing, and I like to hand quilt. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the project I'm working on. Mm-hmm. If any of those things will work out, but mm-hmm. I've always got some sort of handwork going.
So this is this Lone Star. Did you hand piece it for the book?
Oh, no. There's only about a million bias edges on that.
Right.
So, no, that was machine pieced, but that was fun too.
Wait till you see it. It really
no,
is
I
something.
Can't. I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, Lone Stars are very impressive quilts.
Yep.
Well, this is maybe the most impressive I've seen.
Okay.
And the and how they photographed it is really something. I can't wait for you to see it. I will send you a book as soon as we get some.
Yes, photos. So we have just about 2 minutes, and why don't each of you? I'll ask each of you to tell me a little something about how your studio looks. So Lori first. What does your studio space look like that you work in?
Well, as I've said a lot of times, it's usually the whole house. I do have one room set aside for storage of fabrics and sewing tools and things like that. But I have an 11-foot dining room table that gets used a lot, and the computer and my drafting table is in the family room. So I'm kind of spread out all over.
So you really are spread out all over. I know you've shown some pictures every so often of your space on your blog, so people have to keep looking. So, Polly, what's your workspace like? Because you're the wool lady.
I'm the wool lady. I had a wonderful studio on our house on the island that overlooked the marsh. It was big. It was wonderful. We sold that and came here, and it just shows you can have a studio any place. I just use one of our extra bedrooms, and the walk-in closet is my wool storage, and my computer is in that bedroom, and I do all my hooking. And you say, today, I have about 12 rugs stacked up for my summer show against one wall and knee-deep in wool because I'm trying to get the colors right on a rug for Sacagawea. But, you know, I say to people, you can make a studio any place. You don't have to have a separate space. Just take a space.
That's right. Well, exactly. People can find a way to... Isn't it true that you need to keep things out also so that you don't have to...
It helps with inventory. It helps when you know what wool colors you need. It just helps. And I like it, you know. I mean, right now, I should shoot you a photo. I have wool probably calf high on half of this room because I'm in the middle of changing colors on this rug. Some things weren't working, so.
So there you go.
Back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to, Lori, tell me your next fabric line name, and then we're going to be finished.
The line that's going to show at Spring Market is called Independence Trail.
Oh, yes. Exciting. Thank you, Lori and Polly,
thank
for
you.
Being here.
Thank you for asking us.
Yes, thanks, Pat.
Yeah, and I will see you in May, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
All right.
Okay, good.
Bye.
Everybody come back after the break, and we have another guest, Linda Hall.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. For the second half of the show, you are just going to be so excited to meet Linda Hall. She is amazing. You know, her company is Primitive Pieces by Linda, and so you might recognize her company name. She does a lot of work for American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine, and you know, Linda's just a joy to know and so creative, and she and I have this absolute passion for folk art, and you know, we also share the same birthday, you know she's wonderful. So thank you for being here, Linda. I'm glad you could be on the show.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, we need to get a little backstory on you, Linda. How did you start to quilt? What made you, you know, pick up quilting?
Let's see. Well, I was thinking earlier today that I actually was a new person on the block, but, you know, it's been 21 years.
Oh.
My sister-in-law, Donna, invited me to learn from her how to quilt back in 1991. And my friend Carol Crago, who owned the local quilt shop
in
town, actually was the one who thought that I could do patterns from what I make. So there you go.
Ah, I remember Carol. She doesn't have her shop anymore, right?
No, she retired, and she's playing with her husband and the kids.
Now, when you first started quilting, Linda, your look is very distinctive. It's very you. You're very consistent. It's the folk art, the warm colors. Did you actually make quilts in other colors when you first started?
No, actually, I never have. Light and bright is not my style. I've never known a quilt that I didn't like, but the darker colors just speak to me. I taught painting for 15 years before I got into quilting, and it was the old master's works that really, really inspired me. Rembrandt probably was one of my favorite. You know, you can look at those paintings for hours because they're darker. They have softly muted colors. And that's what really, I guess, influenced me.
Now, you know, everybody may not know this, but you live in a warm climate. You pretty much have lived in Florida, what, most of your life?
Yes, originally I am from Canada, but I've lived in Florida since I was 3 and a half. My whole family was from Canada. So I always said I was a Canadian Southerner, but I guess now I just have to say I'm a Southerner.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I think sometimes people are surprised when I like folk art because I live in Virginia. I don't know why they're surprised by that. But do you find that because you live in Florida and you make, you know, warm quilts with a lot of brown in them that people are surprised by that?
Oh, you bet. The first, I think the thing that surprises people the most is that I do live in Florida. Everybody thinks I live in the, you know, in the Midwest.
Right, Ohio.
Well, Missouri, that area in there, which is real primitive, too, and Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the first time I ever went to market, it was really funny. When they saw my banner in my booth, I had 23 new quilt patterns to introduce to market, and I was the new kid on the block. Nobody knew me. Mm-hmm. And when they saw that I was from Florida, they said, well, we're the Pink Flamingos.
Right.
And I thought, well, not going to happen here.
Right. Why don't you describe, Linda, for people who haven't, experienced your quilts yet, and they can find them at Primitive Pieces by Linda. It's LYNDA.com.
Right.
Describe the type of quilts that you like to make, because you also piece and applique.
I do. I love working with all kinds of fabrics. Homespuns, cottons. I love working with wool. On top of those particular fabrics, I like the texture that you get from having both involved. I love the darker styles. I work in a value scale, probably in the upper end of it, a value scale meaning 1 to 10, 1 being the lightest and 10 being the darkest. I probably work from 5 to 10 as opposed to lighter. I don't know. It just happens.
I know. Well, you can't really choose what you're going to make, can you? It just comes from your heart.
Well, you can be inspired by a lot of things, and I think mainly is most of the patterns that I've made are related to family. I don't know if I'm a frustrated writer or what, but I do, in each one of my patterns, there's a story about a family member. So a quilt can be created from a story that I heard over the years. It can be created from a special piece of fabric that I have, a thought. It doesn't matter. It just comes, and I've said, I guess when the well runs dry, I won't be doing it anymore.
I bet you have lots of quilts in that head of yours that are waiting to come out.
Well, I'm pretty excited about some of the new ones coming out this year. I've been playing around a lot, and I'm not going to spoil any surprises, but I am kind of excited about it.
Oh, cool. Let's talk about color. Now, if people go to your website, I'm on your, is it the pantry? The pantry or the parlor? Oh, it's the parlor. The parlor has pictures of your quilts.
Right.
And then the pantry has pictures of your home, right?
All over the website, you'll find things about my house and the quilts. The quilts are in where the patterns are. The parlor is where other people have made quilts from my pack lines, and I love getting their pictures.
So tell me a little bit about how you go about picking color for your projects, because you're, you know, being the painter, you have, I think, a really good eye for color and telling people or helping people work with color.
Well, I get all kinds of questions about color, and a lot of people say to me that they don't know how to work with color, which is really not true. I mean, we dress ourselves, we pick clothing colors for ourselves, we decorate our homes. So it really doesn't boil down to color as opposed to working with values. I do teach a color class, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, so if I get real wordy here, let me know.
No, we want to know it. We want to know all of your inside.
I'm going to tell you everything I know then.
Good.
It boils down to four things. It boils down to color, complementary colors, value of colors, and intensity of color. That's basically the four elements of color. When we start with color, there's three primary colors, red, yellow, blue. There's three secondary colors, green, purple, orange. The secondary colors come from mixing two of the primary colors together. If you mix yellow and blue together, you get green. Yellow and red, you get orange. And red and blue, you get purple. So those are the six colors, and that's all we have. That's all you have to choose from. So every piece of fabric in your fabric room, your stash, whatever you want to call it, has to be put into one of those six groups.
So your sorting of your own fabric collection is in those six groupings. So like yellow, in your yellow section, what would you have your brown, your orange?
The yellow is going to be the largest group that you have, and it'll range from, well, first of all, white and black aren't colors, so take those out of the mix. So the lightest yellow that you're going to have is going to be a cream. So your yellow group is going to go from cream to dark yellow, which is brown. And the other groups are going to be, you know, the other five. And my sewing studio I have like a 30-foot wall for floor-to-ceiling shelves. And each of those, my colors are in those groups on my shelves. So when I want to pick color, I don't have to mess with it. I just pick the color. I go to my grouping, and there they are. It makes it real handy. I don't file things away in designer groups or anything like that, because if I do that, then I won't use them. I want to mix all those textures together, so designer groups and homespun plaids and all of that, the prints, the big prints, little prints. They all go together in colors.
Neat. Okay. You know, I really think that's very key, because a lot of people, when I find this when I'm out teaching, a lot of people have you know, segmented certain fabrics away, and so when they go to audition, they don't pull them out and they miss them.
Exactly. And it could be a perfect piece for what you're making.
Right.
Once you get your fabrics into color groups, Mm-hmm. Knowing the color names, I was happy to hear you say in the yellow group what I find brown, because mm-hmm. I never hear that from people. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't know that brown is not a color. It mm-hmm. is just a dark version of a yellow.
Right,
that's all
right.
it is.
Right.
People get, they think pink is a color, and it's not. All it is light red.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you know the six colors and the names of them, and you use those names, when I write a pattern for instructions, for instance, I'll mm-hmm. put use light yellow, and then in parentheses put cream.
Right.
Use dark yellow, and in parentheses put brown. So people actually know mm-hmm. that it's going to be in those ranges. The other thing about color is that 90% of the time, you're going to use what is called hue, H-U-E.
Okay.
What it means is deviation from pure color. The only pure colors we have are the red, green, yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's variations of that. But those are the real true pure colors. So 90% of the time, we're going to use a hue. Or a hue is also a two-word color, like mm-hmm. orange-red or blue-green
right.
or yellow, green, or red, purple.
Okay.
And that's where usually people run, this is where they'll run into trouble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for instance, they're using an orange, red color.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main color in the piece they're making.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll put something with it that won't even go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little formula that I teach in my color class, and
okay.
it's kind of like a math equation. If you
mm-hmm.
write the word orange/red, and
right.
then you put a line underneath it, and then you want to pick out a two-word complement to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the complement of orange? Blue. So,
okay.
and then what's the complement of red? Green. So
okay.
I would put with my orange-red in that quilt, I'm going to use a blue-green. I'm not going to use a yellow-green.
Right.
And you know what? If they do that, if
mm-hmm.
they would just use that little equation every time they put something together, it works every time.
Ooh, very good tip. I like that.
I love it when I can talk to people about color, too. One of my favorite quilts is it's a pinion paw quilt. It's
mm-hmm.
named after my grandparents. And when you look at it, people say, oh, I love your pink and brown quilt. But pink and brown... They're not colors. So what color is that quilt? It really is red and yellow.
Red and yellow, yeah.
My pink
Ooh.
And brown quilt is really red and yellow.
Cool. Now, Linda, we're going to take a little break, okay? Hold
okay.
on. And then, folks, when we come back, we'll let Linda finish her thought on Penny and Paw, and then we're going to talk about some wool and some other things that Linda does. So you're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to designer Linda Hall of Primitives by Linda. So, Linda, your Penny and Paul, when people look at this, they really are going to think it's pink and brown, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Pink is light red, and brown is dark yellow. It does have cream in it, so it's a light yellow. It's actually a red and two values of yellow. Black is in it as well, but there's no black isn't a color.
Right.
A friend of mine has the most, she lives in Melbourne, her name is Jean, and she's got a beautiful quilt that she made. I would steal it in a heartbeat if she'd let me have it. It is dark. I'm going to give you the real terms, and then tell me what color you think it is.
Okay.
It's dark yellow.
Okay.
Light middle value yellow.
Uh-huh.
Middle to dark value purple and black.
Ooh.
It's absolutely stunning. Can you tell me what color it really is?
Ooh, okay, so the light yellow could be cream. Middle could be orange. I don't know if orange is in there. And then what was the third one that's not black?
Purple.
Oh, okay, I've forgotten that part. You have to tell me. Tell us the secret.
It's hard to visualize this.
Yeah.
Dark yellow is brown.
Oh, yeah,
light
that's right.
Light to middle yellow would be creams and tans.
Okay.
In her quilt, middle to dark value purples and black. So the quilt is actually yellow and purple.
Yeah. Wow.
I love analyzing what people put in a quilt. Now, the easiest way to make a quilt that goes with everything in the whole world is just use all six colors, make it scrappy, and then you don't have to worry.
There you go.
And that's what I love to do. But you know, if people could just think about color as being very simple, they would make better choices or more choices.
Mm-hmm.
Where what makes our quilts different is the values that we use. We're all using the same colors. So my quilts are going to be the same colors as somebody that does light and bright. They're just going to be darker. That's all that's going to be. The value scale from 1 to 10.
I have a question now, Linda, because when I'm doing some things with students in a workshop, one of the things we analyze is a piece of fabric that has a lot of different colors in it, let's say a large floral. Where do you or how do you analyze a piece of fabric that has many colors? Where would you put that in your shelf and how would you figure it out?
When I look at a piece of fabric that is multicolored, I ask myself four questions.
Mm-hmm.
What color do I see? That's the first question. It's got to be the one that stands out the most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What tone is it? I mean, is it pure color or is it a hue? So I need to know that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then what value is it? And what intensity is it?
Mm-hmm.
So when I can answer all four of those questions, I can tell you exactly what color group it needs to go in.
And then when you put it on your shelf, do you sometimes even then just audition it like in two different color piles just to be sure?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is carved in stone with any of this.
Right.
I think we all are going to follow the way that we know best or feel most comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But I've had people say to me, the last time I did a color class, they all went home and they changed all their fabric into mm-hmm. color group.
Right.
And I got the most wonderful letter saying, you just simplified it so much. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. This is supposed to be fun. This is not
right.
supposed to be something that we have to worry
at.
About.
Right,
yeah.
right. We don't want to work at it. So,
no.
So let me just mention to people that if they put your name, Linda Hall, L-Y-N-D-A, in the American Patchwork and Quilting website, allpeoplequilt.com, you've got two projects online. There's a railroad crossing, which is a piece project. And then you also have a really gorgeous applique project called Spring Bird, which they're in alternate colorways than your originals. So I want people to be able to go out there. When you are doing like your the bird quilt, the spring bird or the perched, perfectly perched, that's like a long, skinny sort of piece. Is that more like a table topper or, you know, what would you call that piece?
I actually hang it over a cupboard at the top
okay.
of a shorter cupboard that I have, but you can put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you've got a small space,
mm-hmm.
I put things everywhere. I put them over doors.
Yeah.
Nothing goes uncovered here at my house. It's packed.
So, Linda, you work a lot with wool. Maybe you could give us a tip or two about wool. And are you using hand-dyed wools? Are you using wool, found wool, like from the, you know, slacks and coats you cut up? You know, how are you working with wool?
Well, living in Florida, it's hard for me to find wool. The northerners that move to Florida sell their wool coat stuff before they come down here.
I just don't get that. Don't they know that you want that, Linda? You were shopping for it.
I'm going to have to put the word out. Maybe today,
yes.
after today, it'll be
okay.
better. But I do buy my wool from several sources, and mainly I get it when I'm at quilt markets. I buy hand-dyed wools. I've never over-dyed any. I've never had to do that. I like being able to see it before I buy it, but I've gotten to know some of these wonderful gals that do this for a living, mm-hmm. and so I feel very comfortable buying it from them.
Now,
I love working
it, are you like rewashing it? I mean, just sort of like a tip. I mean, are you just taking it as is? Because when they're hand dyed, they have been, you know, washed
right.
already.
I've never overwashed. Well, actually, I got a piece at the Georgia Quilt Show this last fall that I'm going to have to wash, but I don't do anything other
okay,
than
you
cut
just,
it up and use it.
Yeah, you can just use it right away. Now, how do you store it? Because, you know, you're in a warmer climate, which means there might be, you know, little critters that like wool. You know, do you have any...
We got a lot of critters here.
Yeah,
I've never washed a piece. I have to tell you the truth. I've never washed a piece that
yeah.
I've made.
Yeah.
I usually hang them by pant hangers. I do a lot of seasonal stuff, small stuff.
Right.
So when it's not being used, I use wooden pant hangers and hang it in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Probably having air conditioning here has kept the bugs away from it. I've never
yeah.
had any trouble.
Oh, good. Okay. Because there's, you know, some people worry about that. So
right.
I just thought you use it enough, and I know that you own a lot of it. So
I do.
Now, you also love flannel, and I know some people are very, you know, just sort of confused about how to put flannel in a quilt, or can you, and do you need to pre-wash it, and are there issues? I mean, what are your thoughts on flannel, since I know you've used it a lot?
Well, mainly I use brushed cottons that have flannel on one side and cotton
right.
on the other.
They're like homespuns. Some
right.
of those
well,
are homespuns.
Yes, yeah.
yeah.
And but
like
I've turned them upside down after I've cut them and cut them the wrong way, and mm-hmm. so I had to turn it upside down. And, you know, I don't get real excited about any of that stuff. I'm the queen of not worrying about anything. If a point mm-hmm. comes up missing or a corner doesn't meet, it's supposed
right.
to be that way. It's just
yes,
that
right.
easy.
Yes.
But people need to have more fun and not worry so much about stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we're always really in sync with that. It's like it's your hobby. Just have fun. You can make another quilt.
Exactly. If you don't like it, give it to somebody else. And if you don't tell them all the flaws that are in it, they'll love it.
That's right, especially if they don't quilt. They'll have no idea.
Exactly.
So do you have one project that you can think of, you know, maybe you can tell us real quickly. Do you have like one project that you've, you know, when you were getting ready to design it, that you had this, you know, process you went through or thought about, yes, I really need to design a quilt because of XYZ?
I think everyone is my favorite, the one I'm working on.
Yeah.
But I guess I have to go back to the very first one that I ever did. I was driving down my country road, and I came across these huge sunflowers. They were skyscrapers. And I just had to stop the car, and I just sat there and looked at them. And when I was looking at them, I thought, they look like beanstalks.
Uh-huh.
And my great aunt, one of my mother's aunts, or my mother's mother's sisters, her name was Robina, and she was affectionately called Auntie Bean by everybody in the family.
Ooh, uh-huh.
So when I saw those stalks, I thought Auntie Bean.
Oh,
and I knew they were sunflowers, so it had to be a sunflower quilt. So that's how Auntie Bean stalks was the very first design I ever had. It's the very first pattern I ever made, and it's still very, very, very popular.
It's an awesome design. I totally agree.
Thanks.
That's really fun to know the background. Cool. So what's coming up for you, Linda? You have got some fun stuff? Anything you can tell us?
Lots of stuff. Yes. I'm going to be teaching at Primitives of the Midwest again this summer in Lee Summit,
awesome.
Missouri.
That's a fun one.
The Kansas City Star is publishing a new book. It'll be out in September. I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
I have designed some stuff that is really kind of fun, and I hope everybody enjoys those for my pattern line. And it's this year, I got involved with Quilts for a Cause, Inc., several years ago. I lost my only sister to cancer 5 years ago, and I got involved with this. And a new project has started up for this year. I design a block, and my backdoor friends and their friends have their own what we call block parties. They all take the block, and they make them, and then they send them back to me, and they are stitched together here with help from friends, local friends. And then they're given to Quilts for a Cause, Inc., and they're auctioned off. It's so rewarding, and they do such a good job.
Linda, that is just a great thing. You know, we appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you very much. I've had a great time.
Well, I just want everybody to be sure they go out to your site, primitivepiecesbylinda.com, and then she also has a blog, which is the same thing, primitivepiecesbylinda.blogspot.com, and so you can follow Linda, sign up for your newsletter too, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, everybody come back next week. We'll have a whole new show. I enjoyed talking to you, Linda. We'll see you in a couple of months, I think.
I think so. Thanks, Pat.
Okay. This has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Please go to our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Check out all the free things. Sign up for our newsletter. Join us at Facebook, and we'll see you next week. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.